New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Warning, these stories may be disturbing to some viewers. The themes and scenarios depicted contain horror found in the world today. Viewer discretion is advised. So, I was doing what I do best the other day. By that, I mean sifting through that depressive cesspool of the internet known as the deep web, and just generally being a lazy sack of shit. I spent a lot of time doing that, just randomly clicking links to things I probably shouldn't, and then being horrified by what lies on the other side. I've seen a lot of shit on there. Gore boards, dox bins, torture sites, IRL rape, animal cruelty, you get the picture. You've all heard the stories. Everything wrong with the human species can be found somewhere on the deep web, or so they say. I find it all fascinating. To glimpse people when anonymity takes hold and see what monstrous things people are capable of behind closed doors. It's like peeling back the curtain on a Sesame Street play and finding the showrunners having a satanic orgy backstage. You see people for what they really are. Monsters. So I begin my voyage. Monster in hand and freshly stoned mind, ready to be mortified. From my closet, the inflatable erotic doll I had been given as a gag Christmas present looked on in a disapproving manner with a lifeless, open-mouthed stare. "Don't judge me, Miley," I performed the usual diagnostics and booted up Tor. I found myself on the hidden wiki soon after, staring at the dozens of links available for the taking. I saw a little of interest there, so quickly I switched over to DuckDuckGo. I pondered upon what to type in to search for a bit. You have to be careful how you go about browsing Tor, and randomly entering murder or torture into a search bar could get you into a world of trouble. You never know who's lurking. I finally end up typing in one word. Sick. That ought to get some interesting results. The results were initially less than stellar, but soon I did find myself on an apparent blog of some sort. Darkness of the soul, edginess level maximum. I glanced through the blog and found dozens of entries ranging from paranormal, conspiracy theories, short stories, and real-life crime essays. It was actually pretty interesting. And the guy who wrote it was indeed pretty gifted in the vernacular department. I spent some time glancing through them until one entry caught my eye. It was titled, "Dark Sites on the Dark Web. Are They Real?" I found my interest piqued, and so I clicked it. The article listed several relatively prominent and notoriously vile sites, like Cannibal Cafe, Cruel Onion Wiki, Violent Fantasies, and Playpen. None of which were what I was really looking for, but then one caught my eye that I didn't recognize. It was listed only as The Site with No Name. The author was even kind enough to provide a link, to which I clicked without a moment's hesitation. This hidden site has been seized as part of a joint law enforcement operation by blah blah blah. I groaned while reclining in my swivel chair and downing the remainder of my monster. They always had to take away the fun. Just as I was about to click back through, I noticed a small detail which drew my attention back. In the low left-hand quadrant of the page, there was a slight discoloration that caught my eye. I've seen that same message hundreds of times, but this one looked different. On a whim, I highlighted the section with my mouse. Just as I suspected, a series of texts lit up with strands of numbers. The numbers just looked like gibberish at first, but on closer inspection, I noticed a single Russian word. Voity. Translation, enter. Luckily for me, I speak a bit of Russian, so I recognized the phrase right away. I hovered the cursor over the word and watched as the pointer shifted to indicate a hidden link. Clever, hiding behind a smokescreen like that. That's a first for me. I clicked it. The page loaded for a while before finally opening to a new one. It was black with red font, and much as the article suggested, had no title on top of the page. It appeared to be just another catalog site. There was actually very little of substance anywhere on the page, and just random links with no indication as to where they may lead. I clicked several of the links, but all of them turned out to be dead. Well, except for one, that is, which opens to a disgusting image of a woman defecating on a guy's face. I nearly vomited at the sight of it. I have a pretty strong stomach when it comes to gore and violence, but excrement is my kryptonite. Why someone would allow someone else to defecate on them, I will never understand. But then again, there's a lot of things I'll never understand, especially regarding the dark web. I knew it was a troll on their end, and I'll admit they got me pretty good. I knew they were hiding something, though. I mean, why go to the trouble of constructing an elaborate decoy if there wasn't anything illegal going on? Sure, creating the backdrop of the infamous government agency message wouldn't be too difficult, but if nothing illegal was going on, then why bother doing it at all? Mimicking my efforts from earlier, I highlighted the page once again. Sure enough, there was something at the bottom of the page, which had been all but invisible beforehand. It was a series of numbers, spaced out horizontally. I thought at first it was another address, but there was no dot onion at the end. The numbers were organized as follows. 4, 9, 11, 6, 2, 7, 12, 1, 3, 8, 10, 5. I thought maybe it was some sort of password at first glance, but to what? All the links were dead, except for the one with that nasty image, and I was not about to click on that again. I pondered over the image for a moment before noticing another detail. I counted the links and noticed that there were 12 in total. I thought maybe clicking each link in the order correlating to the strands. I thought maybe clicking each link in the order correlating to the strands of numbers would unlock something. So I tried that. After clicking the last one, though, nothing had changed. I sat back and again studied the chain of numbers. There had to be a pattern or method to how they were organized. I pulled my phone out and punched the numbers into Google, but found nothing but tips for calculating fractions. In no mood for math, I put my phone away and again stared at the screen. What if the numbers weren't related to the links? What if this was simply a clue to another site of some kind? I scoured all over the page, clicking every square inch to try and find something. I don't know why I had become so infatuated with discovering the answer, but boredom can be a deadly motivator. Suddenly, I was struck with an epiphany while staring at the top link. It had 12 digits in it. In fact, most, if not all, .onion addresses have 12 digits in them. What if the numbers were clues to an entirely new website? I counted the links, and lo and behold, there was a grand total of 12, each with 12 digits. Maybe each number was in relation to the link in the sequence. Maybe they were dead links because they were never designed to lead anywhere. They were only designed to be clues. On a new hunch, I wrote down the 4th digits on the top link, the 9th on the 2nd, the 11th on the 3rd, so on and so forth, until I had an entirely new web address. I typed what I had written into the search bar and hit enter. My eyes widened as another web page began to load. I gave myself a metaphoric pat on the back for unraveling the mystery, but had no idea what I was about to stumble into. The page finally loaded, and I was given a new name at the top of the page. Happy Fun Time. There were dozens of pictures and videos organized all over the page, none of which I would ever describe with the words happy or fun. It was a gore forum. My heart pulsated in my chest as I looked upon the first image. It was a picture of a guy who had his skull crushed beneath the tire of a truck. Blood and gray matter had been scattered everywhere, as several onlookers stood about gawking at the scene. The second was an image of another man who had been decapitated, and had his genitals placed in his mouth, probably a victim of the cartels if I had to guess. The third was a video, a very depraved video. It was grainy quality and terribly shaky, but after a few seconds it showed what appeared to be a lone woman walking down the street at night, The person filming was obscured a couple dozen yards away in some alley. Suddenly, two other men emerged further down the street and bum-rushed the woman. They were on her in an instant. Before she even had time to scream, they grabbed her, and the cameraman sprang up to join the action. All the while, he chuckled quietly in the most unsettling tone I had ever heard anyone utter. It was a giddy and juvenile giggle, the likes of which could only be produced by a severely deranged individual. The woman attempted to scream, but the two men held her mouth firmly, preventing her from doing so. They dragged her back into an alley as the giggling cameraman followed. I turned it off then, knowing exactly where it was headed. A reasonable person would have just exited the site by that point, but morbid curiosity is a powerful narcotic. The next entry on the list, though, ensured that any doubts I had of the authenticity of the sites would no longer stand. It was a series of pictures, this time involving a little girl who couldn't have been more than 5 years old. She had sandy blonde hair and royal blue eyes. The pictures were innocuous at first, or at least they would have been if not for the sites which they were posted on. It started as just pictures that looked to be taken straight from someone's Facebook profile. A deep pit formed in my stomach as I sifted through them. The pictures began to grow ever more disturbing as they went. At first, it was the little girl with her family and dogs, but soon the pictures began to look as though someone was taking them without her knowledge. There was one where she was swinging at the park with several other children, another where she was playing with toys in a backyard, with the picture looking like it was taken from over the fence. I felt a cold chill creep down my spine as I anticipated where the pictures were headed. One picture stood out immediately. It was of a house at night, illuminated only by the flash of the camera. The next picture showed two people, a man and a woman, lying in bed. Their throats were both slit, and their bed was soiled with a dark crimson. The next picture showed the little girl, clearly distressed, with a black, swollen eye. The remainder of the pictures went on to show the unknown cameraman take her and do terrible things to her. I won't even dignify his actions by putting them to paper. Some things are just better off forgotten entirely. Needless to say, it was the most goddamn disgusting thing I have ever seen. As horrible as the images were, the comments may have been almost on par. They were a mix of English and Russian. There were dozens of them, with almost all lobbing heaps of praise into the vile cameraman and expressing their own sexual gratification with his actions. God is dead, and the dark web is proof of that. How in the world did we get to the point in which human beings like this can exist? I felt sorrow rise within me for the innocent young girl who has been so violently violated and torn from the world. Normally, I feel nothing for random people on the internet, but the tragedy that befell her reminded me of things done to me in my own past. Maybe that's why I'm so fucked up. More than sorrow, though, I felt anger. That was when I made my first mistake. Congratulations, fellas. You are without a doubt the most disgusting sacks of shit in the entire world. Cops have been notified, so have fun jerking each other off in the time you have left. Might as well do the world a favor, though, and just kill yourselves. I couldn't stop my hand from typing out the message. And before I knew it, my comment was inscribed just below all the others. It sat upon the screen for a moment, before others began to appear. All of them insulting me and making fun of my empathy for the girl. Me and the other users fired back and forth for a while before a familiar user posted. It was the same profile which had first posted the images to begin with. His first post confused me, as it was only a set of numbers with intermittent periods. I glanced at the comment before a horrible realization took hold. It was an IP address. My IP address. Before I could react, he followed up with my full name, address, and social security number. I froze, unable to figure out how he had tracked me. It was then that I discovered my second mistake. Like an idiot, I had neglected to activate tails. They attract me. Son of a bitch. Thanks for stopping by, friend. I'll see you soon. Then you'll get a whole episode on this site, starring you. His words sent chills down my spine. I stared at the screen, dumbfounded and without a clue how to proceed. Not content with two mistakes, and apparently with a secret lust for self-endangerment and masochism, I made a third one. Fuck off. I posted the comments and quickly shut down the Tor browser and closed my laptop. I thought about the events that had just transpired, and somehow just ended up laughing them off. After all, there was no way that bastard is going to get through the trouble of tracking me down. People say shit online all the time, but they never act on it. It's all just empty threats. Either way, though, I had some preparation to take care of. I called the police on the non-emergency hotline and informed them of the events. I gave them the web address I had gotten, and they told me that they would investigate it. After that, I called my insurance company to alert them about someone finding my social and proceeded to drink myself stupid, hoping liquor would drown the memories. Days went by and nothing had changed. That is, until the end of the week. I had just returned from work when I saw an unfamiliar black Astro van sitting down the block from my house. I paid it little mind at the time and, to be honest, only realized the implications after the event. I had since forgotten my careless spree into the deep from days earlier and thought nothing of the van. I got inside and again booted up my computer for some mindless browsing. As I did, I heard a noise outside. It sounded like someone climbing the fence outside. I live alone and have no pets, so I knew whatever it was wasn't from my house. I thought about investigating it, but quickly the shattering of glass made it clearer that it was not a good idea. I heard footsteps emanate from down below, giving the distinct sound of boots on hardwood floor. They grew nearer and nearer as I found myself frozen with terror. It was like my body just refused to accept the situation and would not respond no matter what I did. That would have been a most astute time for me to have gotten my gun. The problem was, I didn't have one. The footsteps got louder and louder, all the way up the stairs with booming stomps of feet. I heard them trudge towards my bedroom door and linger just outside. My heart was in my throat, and sweat had begun to drip from every square inch of my body. The door slowly creaked open, and in stepped a man with dark clothing and a simplistic porcelain mask. He walked inside, brandishing a suppressed pistol in his right hand. He grew closer and closer, and then he walked right past me. I don't know why they never bothered to check the closet. It's always the first place I look. I guess maybe he was too distracted by the doll, which sat at my desk, hood up with headphones on to complete the decoy and lull in the approaching predator. I guess that inflatable sex doll came in handy after all. He stepped towards the dummy, and I emerged from behind like a tiger from the jungle, silent and with ravenous hunger. I could feel the saliva begin to pool within my mouth as he reached the prop. He put a hand on the dummy, and I put my hand on his throat. He struggled, like they all do, but I quickly had stripped the firearm from his grip. A simple incision underneath the arm with a blade does wonders in demanding obedience. All it takes is a slit to the ulnar nerve, and the arm becomes essentially useless. The unbearable pain it causes is also a bonus. He dropped the gun, and I slammed him to the ground face first. With one motion, I put my foot on his left elbow and grabbed his wrist with my hand, while my other held the blade to his throat. I then leered close behind him and whispered to him, "What time does my episode air? I don't want to miss it." Before he could respond, I yanked his arm backwards while pushing my boot firmly into his elbow. His bone cracked and then popped from its hinge as his arm bent backwards in the opposite direction it was meant to. The man cried out in an agonizing scream, but I quickly silenced him. He writhed upon the ground and moaned pitifully as the blood began to drip from his mangled arm. His eyes looked back at me, and I could see that oh-so-sweet luster of panic-stricken prey glisten in his dark, brooding eyes. The hunter had become the hunted, and I could not stop the diabolic grin from slithering its way onto my face. It's time to feed. It's a weird feeling when you first kill someone. Most start as a crime of passion, anger which boils over and leads to an act of violence. You learn a lot about people in their last seconds of life. Their secrets, their faith, their fear. You learn a lot about yourself, too. Like how you, a normal dude, could so easily swipe the life of another. There is a raw, primal satisfaction in that feeling, knowing that you yourself hold dominion over death. The feeling is addictive. Once is never enough, though, and soon you will feel the urge to repeat your actions. The dopamine rush, the burst of euphoria, it's as sweet as honey to the mind. I was more careful from then on, picking targets with no relation to me and no reason to suspect my intent. After a time, though, I grew tired of targeting the unsuspecting populace. It just didn't thrill me the way it used to. You can only shoot fish in a barrel so many times before you want to dive into the ocean. What I needed was a new challenge, a new prey to rekindle the flame beneath me. I don't want the sheep anymore. What I need now is the wolf. Do you have any idea how satisfying it is to see the eyes of a predator turn into a helpless little lamb? To know that the terror they once instilled in others is now force-fed down their own throats. They never expect it, and there's no feeling so delicious. It is the ultimate poetic justice. Monstrous actions done to monstrous people. The flood of adrenaline through their system also gives the meat a wonderful flavor. My real name is irrelevant, for the annals of history will forget. But I have become known in certain circles by my adopted moniker, Sig Sepsis. You can find my advertisements all over the web in one form or another. My skills are taboo but refined. My clientele is willing, and their tastes insatiable. To hunt a monster, you must know how to find a monster. You must become a monster. So, to all the friends upon the forum known as Happy Fun Time, and the rest of the world at large, I see you. If any of you gentlemen would like to retrieve the remains of your fallen comrade, then you know where to find me. And if you, dear reader, happen to partake in the odious fantasies of the repugnant underworld as well, then perhaps I will see you one day, too.
Remember when deep web stories were the fad? Every week you'd find a new tale of someone going too far on the deep web, finding something terrifying, and ending up getting attacked for speaking out against it. This story is a bit similar. The difference is, I still love the deep web. Let me explain. I was a senior in high school at the time, and I was definitely no popular kid. My friends were the oddities of the school, the few people who dared to defy the norm. It was them who told me about the deep web. A place on the internet where you were completely unwatched, anonymous, capable of doing whatever you want. Of course, I was intrigued. Most of my friends just used it to buy drugs, but I thought a little bigger. I wanted to know what happened in the darkest parts of the deep web. Whether or not my friends were telling the truth when they talked about horrible fetish sites and assassins you can hire to kill anyone you like. Of course, I wasn't planning on using any of it. I'd never been particularly interested in sex, so fetish sites don't interest me, and there's really nobody I'd like to kill. It was the mystery of it all that fascinated me. Going to these sites would be like peering into a side of the world only a few have ever seen. Like, a wholly new experience. At the time, I was tired of the monotony of life. I'd get up at the same time every day, go to school, attend the same classes, talk to the same people, go home, play some games, do homework, go to sleep, and then it'd repeat. I wondered if other people got tired of that. Anyway, it took me a while to actually dive into the deep web. As fascinated as I was, I had been warned of what could happen to me. I read the stories I talked about, too. Who isn't afraid of being threatened by hackers or stalked by some creep you piss off online? That kind of shit kept me from actually going on the deep web, until the day I manned up and decided it was time to break the monotony. It was time to delve into the underbelly of the internet. Time to see a world I had only dreamed of. For the first week or so, it was fucking boring. It was just drug sites and stuff where people exposed government secrets or whatever. Nothing as dark as I expected. I don't even do drugs, so that was useless to me. And I wasn't into politics. There wasn't really much I was into back then, so I was disappointed. The only reason I kept going was my sheer desire to experience the world I thought existed on the deep web. That world was darker than any drug site. That world had murder, torture, fucked up porn for fucked up people, and all sorts of nasty shit. I eventually got my wish. Just when my apathy towards the deep web got to its highest point, I found what I was looking for. The site didn't have a name. I thought it was a broken link for a bit, since it only led me to a black screen right before I could click out. However, a chat box opened on the screen. Someone using the name Admin typed in the chat box, saying, "Congratulations, you found the worst place on the fucking net." I stared at the screen, more bemused than afraid. It took me a moment to type back, "Cool." That's all I said. What else was there to say? "I'm here to see your finest torture porn." A moment after, the admin replied, "You want in?" I hesitated. All those horror stories flooded back into my head, but it was too late to chicken out. This was what I came for. Even if I just clicked out at the first sign of danger, I had to see what was there. I had to break the fucking monotony. I had to know. I hastily typed back, not allowing myself to stop, "Yeah." The chat box closed, and I was led directly to what looked like a video with another chat box next to it. There were about 5 other people there, each eagerly waiting for something. The video was in black and white and showed a small room. The only thing inside was a wooden chair, until after about 5 minutes of waiting, the door to the room opened. A man was shoved inside, blindfolded and naked, save for a pair of black briefs. He was followed by a woman, this one dressed all in black, her face covered by a mask. In an instant, the chat room went wild. I almost closed the window to spare myself, knowing immediately where this was going. But again, I told myself that this was what I wanted. Maybe not the torture, but the window into the very worst parts of the world. The woman pulled a knife from her pocket and cut off the man's blindfold as she shoved him into the chair. He didn't struggle for a moment, and once his eyes were visible, I could see why. It looked like he'd been drugged. Resisting was impossible. I frowned, glancing to the side. This was fucked up. I knew this was fucked up. My conscience told me to call the cops, or at least to click out, but I forced myself to watch. She turns to the camera, pointing the knife at the man's throat. One of the people in the chat typed, "One of the fingers. Cut off one of his fingers." I clenched my hands into fists, taking in a sharp breath. Was this really fucking happening? Was I gonna just watch as this guy got mutilated? As a small crowd of people watched in glee? I felt like throwing up, a feeling that only worsened when the woman nodded and turned to the man, grabbing his limp hand and carefully slicing off one of his fingers. Blood spurted from the wound, and the man moaned in pain, but he couldn't fight back. Breathing heavily, I hovered my cursor over the X, planning on getting the fuck out of there. But I didn't. The woman looked unimpressed, as if she thought the people in chat could do better. Another person called for a slice up the man's arm, and she complied. He was bleeding heavily now, clearly in deep pain, but these people were fucking sick. They were cheering her on from chat, suggesting new and painful tortures for her to inflict. Eventually, I stopped feeling sick. It was starting to grow on me. By the end, the man was on the ground, covered in blood and breathing heavily. I watched this for about half a minute. The people in chat were starting to die down. They inflicted enough pain that they had their fun. It seemed like things were wrapping up. Funny, I thought, how it was over just when I was getting into it. I smirked. This was exciting. This was better than any game I could play. Much better than any fucking class I could attend. Better than sitting with a group of fucking nobodies pretending like I cared for a goddamn second about them. This was the world I wanted to see. This was darkness. This was the underbelly. This was reality. Fucking end him. Slit the throat. I typed in chat for the first time. She nodded for one last time, bringing the man to his feet before slowly dragging her blade across his throat, sending more of his blood spurting out. Once it was done, she dropped him, and he fell to the ground limp. He was dead. The people in chat started complimenting the torture, talking about how it had been another good time, starting to set a date for the next showing. On screen, the woman left the room, leaving the corpse behind. Of course, I hastily wrote down the date for the next showing. This was going to be part of my life now. I was going to be part of something bigger. I was going to command these people's deaths. What a rush. So, yeah, I still love the deep web. I'm in college now, and now I'm even more immersed in the deep web. I've seen shit some people would freak out about just knowing exists. I've fucked around every sick porn site known to man. I've finally broken the monotony of life. Inspirational, right? How one high schooler defines the boredom inherent in his life by discovering his true passion. I love the deep web.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.